Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
So today, as we continue on with the miracles of Jesus recorded in this great book, I get the task of trying to speak to you for a brief time, hopefully, on a whole chapter, only 50-something verses. We'll take them one by one. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. We're just going to take most of it, and we're going to talk about it. And I promise you, you'll make it in time for dinner. Now, I do want to say we are so appreciative of yesterday, as we went to the seminary and had some conferences in Spanish, which has been an initiative that has been going on for the third year now or so, and we thank God for that. And we had a great turnout. There was probably over 600 people there, and it was beautiful. And I want to thank God for that and the opportunity to share in with all those people and to make things even greater. I couldn't sleep last night because my daughter was one of the conference speakers, and to be able to serve alongside with my little baby, which she still looks like a baby, I know, but she rocked it, man, and I was like, oh, my God, praise your name, because I'm just really excited, and I want to thank you guys for your prayers and the opportunities to serve. But today we're going to talk about a man who went to the grave and came back. And when I talk about Jesus, even though he did that too, we'll talk about that like in a few months, you know, for that Holy Week time, Resurrection Sunday, we'll talk about him. Well, we're going to talk about him anyway, because he's the one that raises the dead to life. But we're going to talk about Lazarus, and the raising of Lazarus from the grave was certainly probably, well, if you think about it, when it comes to all the miracles recorded, it's probably the greatest one. I mean, bringing somebody from the dead, and you know, it's not the first time he does it, because he's already resurrected a couple people. He had already resurrected a couple of others from the dead, but Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Now, that's something else. You know, not one thing is to raise somebody from the dead when they're still laying in bed. But this man was in a cave, all wrapped up, embalmed, done, gone. 4 days. See, the emphasis here, of course, I want us to make sure that there's a couple of things that we need to glean from this that we've been talking about with every miracle. Number one is our faith. You see, when you look at this chapter, you're going to find in this passage that the word faith is mentioned in some way, shape, or fashion about 8 times. And when God repeats himself, it's kind of important. And another theme that we see here is the glory of God. And we have talked about this in every miracle. And we said from the beginning of the exposition of these miracles that the main purpose of these is that God gets some glory, that Jesus gets glory. And that's one theme that runs all throughout. Now, Jesus is seeking to strengthen the faith of his disciples and for others to believe that he is the Christ, that he is the resurrection and the life. He's also looking to strengthen Mary and Martha and even some Jews around. So let's just read the first 5 verses and let's start there for a moment. In chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, he writes the following. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. You see the purpose of miracles right there. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, here we go. You thought I was going to continue reading, right? Well, here we go. I want us to think about this because this is like a, you think of this like Mary and Martha send the message to Jesus. Have you ever sent Jesus a message with somebody else? You probably have and you didn't know it. You see, when you tell somebody, hey, can you pray for me? You tell them, hey, can you give Jesus a message for me? Can you talk to him about me? Can you go tell him something for me? Intercession. And they tell this messenger to go tell Jesus. And what they sent him to say, the only thing that's recorded here is that he said, hey, Lord, Lazarus is sick, Mary and Martha said. It doesn't say here, can you please make it quick? Can you please hurry up? It doesn't say that, but I just don't know what's going on here other than that Jesus gets the message that Lazarus is sick. Now, we're going to talk about this for a second, but you see, just by sending the message to Jesus, they made him aware of the situation. Well, he was already aware of more than Martha and Mary and the disciples were aware of anyway. But later on, we'll understand the situation that they're not just saying, hey, Lazarus is sick. They were expecting Jesus to do something about it. And we'll see that when he finally meets them. And we see what he says to them and what she says to Jesus. So, you see, this illness, Jesus says, it is not for death. Ultimately for death. It is for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son through it. So, what is the purpose? It is for God to get the glory. Now, when you think about it, it is not for death. I can imagine Martha and Mary just listening to the message from the messenger when he came back. Hey, Jesus says this is not for him to die. Well, guess what? He did. Huh? Because the progression here is that Lazarus is sick. So by the time the messenger gets to Jesus, it's the second day. And Jesus says, hey, this is not for ultimate death. This illness is not ultimately for death. And they go back. And when they get back, Lazarus is dead. And the messenger is telling Martha and Mary, hey, Jesus said this is not going to ultimately end in death. And they're like, but he died. This doesn't make sense. What do you mean? When did he die? Well, he died a couple of days ago. Yeah, when Jesus said it. So it is probable. Well, it's not probable. The account kind of lets us know that Lazarus actually died the day that Jesus got the message. And by the time the messenger got back, he had already been dead 4 days. Because it took him 2 days to get to Jesus, 2 days to get back. That's 4 days. Huh, you got it now. What happened? Maybe Jesus made a mistake here. Maybe Jesus didn't realize that Lazarus was already dead when he was saying, he's not, you know, this is not for death. This is just an illness that ultimately, and the word here is ultimately, will not end up in death. When you see, but let's think about a group of people here that was affected. First of all, the disciples. Let's talk about the disciples and what happened to them. And let's read in verses 6 through 16. And verse 6 says, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, here we go, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and here are you going there again? And Jesus says, there are not 12 hours in the day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of this world. But, check this out, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. In him. That's a key word right there. This, he said, and after he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of the sleep. Then the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You don't get it? And I am so glad for your sake that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go along so that we may die with him. Notice that the second purpose of the miracles is stated here in verse 15, so that their faith is strengthened. Not only that God gets the glory, but our faith is strengthened. But here we go. This is we need to understand this, that Jesus was being sought to be stoned around Judea. And here, they're like, why are we going there? They were trying to stone you. Guess what? And he's like, you guys are fools. Come on. But I want you, out of what we read, let's pull a couple of things. Number one, God's love for his own is not pampering love. It's perfecting love. You see, God's not here to pamper you. He's here to perfect you. See, the disciples had the wrong idea about God's love sometimes. Do you have the right idea about God's love? Do you think that when you love God and God loves you, everything's going to go rose-colored? That everything's going to be good? Even roses have thorns, you know. It's going to be difficult because faith is about perfecting us. It's about sanctifying us. It's about making us like Christ. And to be like Christ is difficult. Have you found that out yet? It is hard to be like Jesus. You see, sometimes Jesus allows your doubts and some problems and anything in your life so that he can show his power to perfect your faith, so that we grow in faith. And Jesus saw the opportunity not only to give glory to the Father and for him to get the glory, but also that their shame, their doubts, their fears, their everything could be cast away by faith being strengthened in them. You see, God's not going to shelter you from suffering. God's not going to shelter you from problems in life. He will be there with you to shelter you in your strife, in your problems, in your pain. You see, after all, of course, we know that the Father loves the Son, yet he did not spare him. He did not spare him. He sent him to the cross on our behalf. Jesus had to drink of that bitter cup that he said, if it can be passed, please. But no, your will be done. So never think that suffering is incompatible with God's love. It goes hand in hand, and it'll strengthen your faith if you let it. So think about that. You see, even when you have doubts and the light of your faith may be faint, just stay close to the light of Jesus. Because he's going to allow your doubts so that he can show his power to perfect you. You see, they thought that Lazarus was asleep. Well, if he's asleep, let him wake up. He'll wake up. We don't have to go there to get stoned, you know. But Jesus says, you know what? Let's go. Let's go. He talks about the day being in the light and walking in darkness, but he's not talking about literally the 12 hours of day and the 12 hours of night. He's talking about the light in you. Remember that I made emphasis on that. Jesus is saying, you don't have to worry if the light is in you. In you. And guess what? Jesus is the light. And Jesus was going with them. And if he's the light, you don't have to be afraid. He'll light up your path. Don't worry about it. We're not going in darkness. We're going into the light. So Jesus then has said, you know what? They're not getting the light. Their brain, their minds are still dark. So let me clear it up for them. Let's shine some light on this. Lazarus is dead. Let's make it clear. He's not just asleep. I meant when I said he was asleep, I meant that he's dead already. So you see, the disciples needed to strengthen their faith. Their faith needed to grow. Because they were like sleepwalking. I mean, when they thought that Lazarus was asleep, I think the ones asleep was the disciples, you know. They were the one that needed to be awakened so that they would finally believe once and for all. You're not coming with me? Aren't you walking with me? And I am the light? Jesus could have told them. And even the doubter, Thomas, you know he's famous for doubting Jesus. Come on, give the man some credit. He might have been a doubter, but he was a devout disciple. Still even, he said, well, let's go with him and let's die with him. You see, be careful when you see people doubting. Be careful when you hear or you see some of our brothers and sisters kind of dwindling down or anything. Be careful before you judge and criticize. He was a doubter, but he was actually devout to the point that he said, let's go. If we got to die with him, we die. Are we willing to continue on? I mean, he's the light. But that was the disciples. Now, let's talk about Mary and Martha for a sec. You see, the first thing that we need to get into our minds is to think about the message that Jesus sent Martha and Mary, or Mary and Martha. It sounds kind of easier to pronounce. You see, when Jesus said in verse 4 that this sickness was not to end, it was not ultimately death, but for the glory of God and that the Son may be glorified. What do you think they thought when the messenger came back and said, hey, Jesus said this is for the glory of God. Of God is for him to be glorified and that it would ultimately not end in death. Did that make sense in their minds? I wonder, because Lazarus was actually dead, like I said before. So the message could have been a little difficult for them to process. And now we see the encounter of Jesus with Martha to start with in verses 17 through 19 as we continue on. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard of Jesus, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Amen. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, yeah, I know. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary and her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet again, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? Then they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Wow. What an amazing story. Come on, let's continue on. I want you to know something. Death is not the ultimate result. That's what Jesus said. You see, we get life and God gets the glory. But I want you to understand something. Martha comes to the encounter of Jesus, and she might be a little confused or anything, but she gets a glimpse of Jesus, and things start changing in her life. You see, if you would have been here, Lord, if you would have been here, Now, I want you to think, if Jesus would have been there before Lazarus died, they wouldn't have had the experience of seeing this great miracle of God. Wow! They would have missed it. How important it is to recognize that when Jesus is in the place, he is able to change not only circumstances, he's able to change people. And not only change people, he's able to raise from the dead. There's nothing that can stop him. And Martha started understanding that as she encountered Jesus, but it was still a little difficult to process. He's dead. And I know, oh Lord, that whatever you ask the Father, he will give to you. You see, her faith is starting to get a little stronger there all of a sudden, right? And Jesus says, you know what? Your brother is going to come back. Your brother will come forth. And Martha had, she probably had listened to Jesus' teaching and knew that Jesus was hope. And he talked about hope. And he talked about the last days when every single soul will be brought back to life. Everybody will be lifted to come to judgment, to be damned or to be blessed in life eternal with God. So she knew that. She understood that. But we're not talking about the last day. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, even if he dies. Well, Lazarus has died, my Lord. And even if you live, even if you're living, if you believe in me, you will not die. Do you believe this? You see, the resurrection is not just a simple act of power. The resurrection is not a thing. The resurrection is Jesus. It has a name. He is the resurrection. He didn't just say, this is about something else, identity. Identity. Jesus is not just giving love. He is love. Jesus is not just able to bring back to life. No, he is the resurrection. No, he is the life. He is personified in all these things. That is his essence. That is who he is. And we need to understand that. See, for a moment there, even if he's dead, things are starting to make more sense. This is the moment when Martha believes in a great way. Oh my goodness, her faith is strengthened. I know that you are the Christ. I know who you are. I've met you personally, and I know what you've said, and I know that everything you say is true, and I know that you have the power, and if you ask the Father, it will be done. Wow, what great faith is starting to build in Martha. You see, death is not the ultimate result. We get life and God gets the glory, but death is certain. But life is possible if you just what? Believe. You see, death is certain. Death is certain. We need to understand that. Jesus was not saying nobody's going to die. Jesus was not saying that Lazarus was not going to die. What he was saying is that ultimately Lazarus would have life. And I'm talking about eternal life. Not just life in the body as we know it. Do you believe this? You see, when we are faced with all the diseases and disappointments and death, whatever it is, we have the Word of God to encourage us. Remember that the Word of God is Jesus. The Word is the person, Jesus personified in the Word. The Word is Christ. So when you come to the Word, you're coming to Christ. You're getting to know Christ. Do you believe that? In any situation, Jesus is the master of any situation. And she says, yeah, I believe. You see, I can imagine how they felt as Jesus said all these things. And, you know, wait till I do what I'm going to do. You'll be astonished. You'll be amazed. You'll be fascinated. You'll be marveled. You'll be stunned. Watch me. Go to work. Oh, my goodness, the anticipation of Jesus raising somebody from the dead. But Martha goes running and gets her sister. Jesus said, go get Mary. Now, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, she is the one who came to a party where Jesus was invited, a big dinner with a man with a lot of money. And she came and she wept at Jesus' feet. And she washed her tears on his feet, with her own hair, perfumed his feet. And the host of the party said, "Oh my goodness, you're going to allow that woman to do that?" And Jesus said, "You know, I came in here and you have not kissed me, and she's kissing my feet. I came in here and you did not anoint my head with oil, and she's all this perfume. And you, I came in here and you did nothing but give me a seat, and here she is weeping on my feet." Then he turned to Mary. This is the same Mary. He turned to her and said, "Child, you are forgiven. You are forgiven." Mary knew the grace of Jesus. Wow. And this is the second time she comes running and she falls at Jesus' feet. She is captivated by the presence of Jesus. But then she says, "If you would have been here." You see, Mary had a glimpse of what could happen when Jesus is present. Not just a glimpse, she had experienced it. She had experienced his grace when she went to his feet with all of her sin, and he said, "You are forgiven." And now she comes back with another trouble. You see, even after you've been forgiven and you've been given the grace of God, you still got to keep coming, and you still got to keep getting on your knees, and you still got to come to his feet. You still need him. We still do. And his presence is able to transform. In verses 35 and 38, Jesus starts weeping, and it says that he was taken from the inside out. Could it be because Lazarus was dead? I mean, that's what the Jews thought. Oh, look at him cry. He loved this guy. He's just weeping for him. Look at him. I mean, he's just really having a hard time. Or could it be about his disciples who still didn't believe? Quite right. Or was it about Martha, who's starting to almost get a glimpse of what the resurrection means? Or was it about Mary, because she said, "If you would have been here." Who was he weeping for? I think he weeps for all of us. He is grieved because of our sin, because of our unbelief. And he's always seeking to help us with that. You see, the heart of Jesus hurts because our minds are darkened and he is light. So we need to believe. And here comes the moment of the display of the glory of God as Jesus approaches the tomb. I mean, this is Christ, the life, the resurrection. In verse 39, he says, "Take out the stone." Take it out. And Martha then says, "Hey, Lord, he's kind of stinky right now. It's been 4 days." You see, the crisis of faith, this is kind of impossible. He's already deteriorating, decomposing. You see, do you blame her? I mean, I don't blame Martha. I don't blame Mary, either one of them. I would have had a big crisis of faith myself. But Jesus said, "Did not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God." Look at verse 40. "Did not tell you? Did not I say that you to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" What an amazing thing. "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" See, death is certain, but life is possible if you believe. Now watch me go to work. Here comes Jesus. And let me tell you what the impact was on Lazarus for a second. We're going to read from verses 40 on to 45. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed a stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around me, I said this so that they may believe that you sent me." Once again, the purpose, so that they believe. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, Here's the result. Many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Wow. One of the greatest miracles? Yeah. You see, but here's the funny thing. Jesus wants us to be partakers of his miraculous work. Jesus wants you and I to participate. Isn't that great that you could be part of a miracle? Have you ever told somebody about Jesus? Have you ever told somebody about Jesus and seen the life of that person transformed in Christ? Have you ever seen a sinner come to Christ because you told them about Jesus? Guess what? That's the miracle right there. That somebody would believe and Jesus would indwell in them and the Holy Spirit would come and seal them. That's the greatest miracle that could ever happen to a human being. It's life. And if you've ever shared the gospel and somebody has been to come to Christ, then you've been part of a miracle already. And if you haven't, go tell somebody. Be part of a miracle. God wants to still perform miracles like that. That's what he's in the business for. Basically, what I'm telling you is go remove some stones. That's what Jesus said. Say, hey, remove the stone. Jesus didn't remove it. Jesus could have done like this. Gone. Jesus could have just looked at the stone and the stone would have broken in pieces. You remember when Jesus came out of the grave? Did he move the stone? It was an angel. Even he gave, imagine the angel that moved the stone. How exciting it is. Imagine that angel when you get to heaven, he's like, I'll move the stone. I was the one. Did you see that? It was me. You heard about it, right? That was me. What an excitement to be part of a miracle. You can do the same thing too. You see, Jesus may ask you to be part of a miracle. I think he's already asked you. He wants to include you in his miraculous work and plans, taking the stones away so that people will come out of their graves and meet Jesus face to face. And Jesus said it with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Imagine everybody like, he's gone cuckoo. This is Jesus. And he did it for them so that they would believe. So that they would believe. Now, Jesus wants you to have comfort, even in the most difficult of your pains and your losses. He may not be resurrecting people that you have lost. But believing in him, if the people have believed in him, they will be resurrected. And you need to live in that hope. Jesus has everything in his hands, death and life. And he has your problems and your doubts, your despair in his hands too. And he's calling on you. He's calling on me to come forth. Come forth. See, as soon as he said, Lazarus, come forth, I want you to think, and instead of Lazarus, put your name on there. Me, come forth. This is the one who had died. And he came out and he was tied hand and foot, you know, with all these wrappings around him, face covered. Now, you see, I don't know, me and my wild imagination. Can you imagine Lazarus just running into stuff and what the heck is going on here? What happened to me? I don't know if it was like that. You know, when you watch the movies and the videos, you just see like a little mummy. I don't know. But maybe. I don't know. Imagine the excitement of waking up in a cave, waking up in a tomb. I mean, he had to know where he was right after he woke up. Only God has the power to do something like that. You see, only God has the power to speak to the dead and for the dead to rise. No one can answer. No one can do anything. Once you're dead, you're dead, unless you're quickened by the Spirit of God. The same thing happens to a sinner like you and like me. We think we're alive because we're walking around in this body. But guess what? Humans, all of humanity, we have all sinned and we're dead in our trespasses and in our sin. And the dead cannot answer unless it is the voice of Jesus and the power of the Spirit that says, wake up, I love you, and I did this for you. Come to me, come forth. So unless the Spirit touches people's heart, they'll still be dead until they're judged in the last resurrection. See, Jesus said, remove the stones, but he also said, untie the resurrected, untie him. Come on, guys, move. Imagine everybody going like, he probably couldn't. What? I ain't going over there. There's a dead man walking. He's no longer dead. He's alive. Go untie Lazarus. Come on, people. You see, I want you to think about this because Jesus once again includes us in his miraculous work. And he's trying to tell people, hey, be participants. Do something for this man. This man has just been raised from the dead. Go help him out. Go give him some support. Welcome him. Go give him a hug. Go say, hey, Lazarus, man, how was it, bro? Oh, my God, you had us crying. You had us weeping here for you, bro. You should have seen these people. You got a lot of people that love you here. You see, and that's what we need to do. When somebody goes from death to life, when somebody comes to believe in Jesus, when somebody comes to Jesus and is struck by the love of God, you need to welcome them in. When people come to Christ, you need to be around them. You need to go help them because they come tied. They come with a bunch of stuff that is still stuck on them. And we, the church, we need to be the agents of grace and help and support to help them in and welcome them in. It is our labor. You see, we are co-laborers with God in this. You may not know. You may even remember or not. But every time somebody comes to this altar and professes Christ as their Lord and Savior, I always tell that person, these people that are sitting behind you, I want you to look at them because they're your family. They're here to support you. They're here to help you. Don't forget that. We're here for you. Count on them. They're going to be there for you. And guess what? I hope you are because I already got you in it. That's what we need to do. That's why I love it when somebody comes to Christ and some of you actually come and stand next to them and hug them and say, hey, you're not alone. Praise Jesus. But when we walk out of here, we need to let them know that we're still there for them. When we come to Christ, our new life, we come in here with a lot of needs. We come in here with bandages all over the place from our hurts and all the things that we've done in our past. And we need help. We need support. When we come in here and we come to Jesus, we just came out of the grave. And we're still embalmed. We need to get that out of our system, and people can help us with that. We need to be untied because all the old things have passed. We're new creatures, the Bible says. We can't walk alone. That's why we need the church. Every single Christian needs a good church. Everybody needs church people around. You see the church. Would you like to see people believe? Would you like to see more people come to Christ? Then it is time for us to go out there and remove some stones. Then we get the privilege of untying them, seeing them awaken from their sleep. You see, the messenger that Mary and Martha sent to Jesus was to send bad news. But you've been actually made to be a messenger of good news. Imagine, he went over there saying, hey, Lazarus is sick. And when he came back around, he says, hey, Jesus said that this is not going to ultimately end up in death. You know what that means? There's going to be life. He went with bad news and he came back with some good news. That's why many believed, because of what Jesus did. So The call is for everyone to come forth. Come forth, my friend. There's a family waiting for you. A family called Church in Christ. See, you can come in with all your doubts, with all your difficulties, whatever. We'll help you untie yourself. We'll help you walk. We'll lead you and we'll bring you to Jesus. Do you believe? See, death is certain for sure. For each and every one of us. But death is not the ultimate end or final destination for those who believe. Because Jesus is the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. So come to Jesus. Whoever you are, come forth. And if you have not done that yet, I urge you, by the mercies of Christ, that today you come to Him. Acknowledge that you are dead in your trespasses. Many of us here have done that already. Recognize that you're a sinner. Repent. Come with your bandages. Come all wrapped up. Jesus will unwrap you and give you a new life. We're here to help you. So if you have not done that yet and you would like today to give your life to Jesus Christ and come out of the grave, then come forth by raising your hand or letting us know with a text, with a message, whatever it is. Call us. Jesus is calling on you. And Jesus is not just calling on the dead. He's also calling on us like the disciples. Come with me. Walk in the light. Strengthen your faith. Go out there and remove some stones. Go out there and help some people unwrap themselves. Do something about it. Allowing our lives to be used for the good. He can use you, believe it or not. And when you have doubts, just stay close to Jesus because He is the light. He'll light up your path. He'll actually make you the light of this world. Because death is not the ultimate result. We get life and God gets the glory. How about that? You want to see God get some glory? Then believe that He is the resurrection and the life. And go partake of the miracle of life as you share the gospel. Share resurrection, share life, share Jesus.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.